Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're studying a lesson about Jesus in the temple, and particularly how they tried to ensnare Jesus with a question, should we pay taxes unto Caesar or not? They thought they had Jesus in a dilemma, because either way he answered, he would be insulting or at least arousing the anger of part of the multitude. And so we're going to see how Jesus answered this. You may get your Bibles ready and turn to Luke chapter 20, where we read of this event. And then we're also going to be studying about the generosity of a poor widow. Now, while you're turning to Luke chapter 20, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. So how would Jesus answer that question? Should we pay tribute unto Caesar or not? Give us the answer, they were saying. Well, here is what Jesus did. He called for a piece of money, saying, show me the tribute money, or bring me a denarius that I may see it. Mark 12 and verse 15. The margin in Mark 6 and verse 37 says that a denarius is a coin worth about 8 pence, half penny, or nearly 17 cents. The tribute money was used to pay this tribute. When they had brought it, he asked, whose is the image and superscription? They answered, Caesar's. It had on it the image and name of Tiberius Caesar, the emperor at that time. When these men said the coin bore the image and superscription of Caesar, then Jesus answered them, saying, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. You see, the Jews were subject to Caesar, and in peace and quiet should pay tribute to him, and also should live in submission to God. And so must Christians live today. We're going to discuss this a little further following this lesson on a special article about the Christian's relationship to civil government. But before we get to that article, let's talk about the generosity of the poor widow. Now this is found in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And Luke 21:1 says, he looked up and saw the rich men that were casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, we find this story not just in Luke, but also in Mark. Let me read the story as it's found in Mark chapter 12, verses 40 through 41. Here it says, he sat down over against the treasury and beheld how the multitudes cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a poor widow, and she cast in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow cast in more than all they that are casting into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their superfluity, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You see, Jesus sat down over against the treasury. There was a compartment of the temple called the treasury, in which gifts were deposited, and where Jesus sometime taught. We learn from 2 Kings chapter 12, 4 through 8, something about the money cast into the treasury. That was the money of the hallowed things, things dedicated to Jehovah, including the money that everyone that passeth the numbering. We read it here in 2 Kings chapter 12, 4 through 8. And Jehoiah said to the priest,
all the money of the hallowed things which is brought into the house of Jehovah, in current money, the money of the persons for whom each man is rated, and all the money that it cometh into any man's heart to bring to the house of Jehovah, let the priest take it to them, every man from his acquaintance, and they shall repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so. In the 23rd year of King Josiah, Jehoash, the priest, had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and for other priests and said unto them, Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore take no more money from your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priest consented that they should take no more money from the people, neither repair the breaches of the house. Well, that was the money that was being collected at this time, because the temple was really in a state of being rebuilt, and money was being collected for that purpose. Moses put a tax of a half a shekel on every man 20 years old and over, when the children of Israel were numbered, as a ransom for their soul. And this was appointed for the service of the tent of meeting. We read about that in Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, according to those that are numbered of them, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto Jehovah. When thou numberest them, let there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This shall they give, every one that passeth over unto them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gruffs. Half a shekel is an offering unto Jehovah. Every one that passeth over unto them that are numbered from 20 years old and upward shall give the offering of Jehovah. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel when they give the offering of Jehovah, to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money from the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before Jehovah, to make an atonement for their souls. So there was this tax money that they would give, and there was the shekel that everyone would give as a sort of a poll tax. And besides these was all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of Jehovah. That is, that was the free will offerings. In the time of King Jehoash, Jehoiada the priest prepared a chest with a hole in the lid for the reception of these offerings in 2 Kings 12 and verse 9. And there was some such place of deposit as this chest in the time of Christ. We read in Luke chapter 21 in verse 2, And he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Now a mite was the smallest piece of money, and two mites were a farthing. Well, that amounts to about 1 cent in our money. It says in Luke 21:3-4, He said, Of a truth, I say unto you, this poor widow cast in more than they all. For all these did of their superfluity cast into the gifts, but she of her want did cast in all the living that she had. Jesus called the attention of his disciples to what this widow had done, and said she had cast into the treasury more than all the others, because the rich had only cast in of their superfluity, but she cast in all she had, all of her living. She made a sacrifice of all she had, and for this reason it was more than the abundance which the rich gave of their superfluity. The rich gave of what they had left above a living. She gave her living. Had the rich given all they had, all their living, they would have given as much as this widow. It is a shame and slander for one to say how he has given the widow's mite unless he has really given all his living. This shows, too, the true spirit and principle of giving. God does not want the amount of money or the money itself as money. He wants the generosity and the love which give it. He seeks not the wealth of men, but their salvation. This is the only way to save them. In 2 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, we read, "Charge them that are rich in this present world, that they be not high-minded, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed." In 1 Corinthians 6, in verse 2, we read it was upon the first day of the week that they were to lay by in store as they had prospered in the church at Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians 8, in verse 12, says, "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according as a man hath, and not according as he hath not." In 2 Corinthians 9, in verse 7, we read that we're to give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now that brings this particular Sunday school lesson to a close. But there's a special article following this lesson on the relationship of Christians to civil government. And this relationship is embraced in the scriptures in Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, and 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. Let me read to you Romans 13, 1 through 7. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. And wouldst thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. He beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, an avenger for the wrath to him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be in subjection, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are ministers of God's service, attending continually upon this very thing. Render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, "I exhort therefore first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in high places, that we may live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, we read, "Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or unto governors as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers, and for praise to them that do well. For so is the will of God, that by well doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your freedom as a cloak of wickedness, but as bondservants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." This is certainly a lesson much needed in this day of such lawlessness. If people would follow what the scripture said about the responsibility of us to submit to the government, so much of our civil unrest would return to peace.
We'll talk about this more in the next class.